Yeah, you're very welcome back to Tech Talk. This is Jess Kelly with you here on News Talk. As ever, if you want to get in touch, you can drop me an email to techtalk@newstalk.com, or you'll find me on Instagram at JessKellyNT. And I give those details because we're going to talk about Elon Musk. And I want to flag that now so that the people who normally email me or tweet me or whatever the language is now, anytime I talk about Elon Musk, get yourselves ready because this is going to be a long conversation. Joining me now is Stephen O'Leary of Olytico. So Stephen, for full transparency for everybody involved, you and I spoke earlier in the week and I had this brilliant notion of let's look at what Musk post-White House means in the world of tech and business. What next for him? What about his reputation? And then the night after we spoke, a lot of stuff happened. And I'm sure everybody is only too aware about the back and forth that have existed. We are now talking on Friday, just again, so everybody is aware. But I still want to have a bit of the conversation that we had planned to have, which is when you think back to pre-October 22, which is when Musk bought Twitter, which is now X. What did you know and think of him as a human, as an inventor, as a business person? Can you remember back that far?
I can. Like in truth, it was, you know, like in tech circles, I guess, right? And so, you know, I guess 15 years, 16 years in this industry directly now, maybe 20, you know, there was a lot of knowledge as to who Musk was. You know, I probably my earliest memory, I've kind of been reflecting on this, my earliest memory is of those last minute deals Musk did to keep some of his companies going and ultimately secure their future. And this is pre-Tesla. And then when Tesla emerged as being essentially the single biggest EV company in the world at the time, and certainly the single biggest driver of change in that industry. I mean, like the catalyst essentially for almost making EVs as an industry cool, Musk was front and center. And his name was like inextricably linked to it. And then it, you know, it just expanded out from there. You had like, you had the Boring Company and kind of what was happening there, which felt kind of really new and innovative. Obviously, you've had SpaceX and, you know, Starlink has, you know, transformed the way whole communities receive the internet. So in lots of ways, he's been at the forefront, I guess, of innovation. And so let's say pre the last couple of years, certainly pre his takeover at Twitter, I would have had a very different view, I would imagine, along with a lot of the world, of who Musk was and what he stood for.
Yeah, I was thinking about this on the Lewis Into Work the other day, and my impression of him was that he was a genius and a true innovator and somebody who was going to make the future happen, right? And it was kind of that starry-eyed, kind of like Steve Jobs, that godlike figure who was going to use technology and innovation to kick things on. But now when you look at what's happened since 2022, mainly, it just feels like he is the worst version of a tech bro that we all had worked so hard to move away from, but with serious consequences. Were you surprised when he got so actively involved in politics? And I don't just mean sharing his own political views, because obviously he's a citizen and he's allowed to do whatever he wants to do. But as a business person, to be, number one, so vocal, but then also to be publicly donating, endorsing and boots on the ground when it comes to a political candidate.
Was I surprised? I probably didn't anticipate. No, I mean, if you'd asked me 4 years ago, was Musk going to arguably be one of the most important people in global politics, certainly in US politics? I don't think I would have believed you, or certainly I would have wanted to know, like, why? Because there has always been extremely wealthy people, and there always will be extremely wealthy people connected to politics. And there's an argument even more so in the US, where such vast sums of money are spent on particularly presidential elections, but all forms of politics. And so donations and wealthy individuals and millionaires and billionaires have always been at the center of politics. And Musk is that, right? He's the richest person in the world. I think what makes him different is the fact that he also owns not just, the default real-time social network, which X remains. And whether you like it or not, it still is that. And we've seen that in particular in the last 24 hours. But also, he owns incredible critical infrastructure. I mean, SpaceX has become central to so many things to do with US space exploration, but also national security, communication. We saw, for example, the role that Starlink was purported to be playing in places like Ukraine when critical infrastructure and internet access would have been affected by the war. So, like, in so many ways, he's so connected across the board. And that was before he got so centrally involved in Donald Trump's election campaign last August.
Yeah, and I suppose this is the part that fascinates me. And I know that neither you nor I are in like direct contact with Elon Musk, so we don't know what he's thinking. But he was so centrally involved in so many projects, as you've outlined there. He was also respected, even though he was, sort of pegged as this eccentric guy, he was respected within the business community. And so to make that leap from outspoken, eccentric billionaire to suddenly getting involved in politics, like, was this ego that drove him into this world and to where we are today? Or do you think there was a genuine belief that he has done well in business, so he will obviously do well in the political sphere?
I think the two are linked, right? I think the ego drives that belief that you can make anything better, right? That if you've been able to create these groundbreaking businesses, and there is no getting away from the role Tesla has played in the I suppose the speed with which EV adoption has occurred globally, despite the kind of the trouble the brand is in at the moment. And SpaceX have transformed the way we think about space, and connected into that, the Starlink project is again potentially going to transform, internet access for large swathes of the world. So, he can, it's not as if he's kind of going, I wonder, am I good at things? He's got a track record. And whatever we think about him on a personal level, he can point to things that his businesses have achieved that are like groundbreaking. I think, though, you cannot ignore the impact of the purchase of Twitter or X in the catalyst or the effect it had on his role within politics, because you might remember that he was someone who, pre-purchase of X or Twitter, was quite outspoken on the way that it moderated, for example, content. He would have shared things on the platform in the past prior to purchasing it that again may have been moderated or fact-checked by teams within X. And so when he went in and essentially removed, to all intents and purposes, kind of any form of moderation on the platform, and essentially said, you can kind of say whatever you want here, the impact that had was the MAGA base in America would have been very much aligned with that viewpoint, that there should not be censorship, that you should be allowed to say anything you want, that the woke element that is so often referred to was hampering their ability to have free speech, this kind of fundamental right that they feel they have, and that, responsibility shouldn't come with that. You should just have all the rights and almost none of the responsibility when it comes to saying things on the internet. And because Musk was championed by this group, they therefore would have praised him, and you kind of get into a bit of a loop cycle where he is obviously consuming more content from that group of people because they are constantly praising him and what it is he does. And so he becomes very quickly part of this MAGA set. And so the elevation into Trump's orbit and then the ultimate starring role he played in the 2024 US presidential election in a way, it probably wasn't entirely surprising, right? It was just the speed with which it occurred and how centrally involved he got. And I suppose the emergence of Doge in particular, they're some of the things maybe that we didn't possibly anticipate happening as quickly as they did.
Yeah, and I guess, and I know people will be emailing me, because anytime I talk about Elon Musk, there's a certain cohort of people that email me instantly. And I'm sure some of them would say that this is just another example of Musk being able to read the mood of a nation and to be in the right place at the right time and position himself correctly. And, you know, he posted himself, I think it was on Thursday night, that, you know, Trump wouldn't have won without him. And that is, you know, absolutely, there's the argument for that. But it's the notion of him having worked so hard on his businesses and positioning himself so well in the business community that baffles me, because he did put his businesses in jeopardy by shimmying in to the White House and taking on the role of Doge. And we saw real life consequences. We saw talk of $2 trillion being slashed down to a tiny fraction of what he had promised in terms of savings. We saw people die. We saw medical aid not being able to get where it needs to get as a result of him. And it's very difficult to extrapolate the person from the businesses. And when you look at the Tesla stock at the moment, as I said on Friday, that seems to be ringing true now. He has put his own self-interest over the six businesses or whatever it is that he's centrally linked to.
He has, and he is inextricably linked between them. I think where this probably gets a little bit complicated is that we know Musk has a huge appetite for risk, because you almost can't make the moonshot leaps he's probably made in certain industries. Like the idea of, you know, the space rocket that lands itself vertically on a platform. Like these kind of like ideas that are these incredible feats of engineering are so inherently risky, and have such potential downside, along with so many other things that he has pursued, be that Tesla or X, you know, or his industries. Very often he is taking really big bets, and foray into US politics, you know, was by, you know, like by any measure, a risk. It was a bet that he took. And again, if you track that Tesla share price, by January of this year, there was an argument that actually the bet had paid off. Tesla stock was at an all-time high. You know, he was riding high in the polls. There was this absolute kind of like halo effect of like everything is going to be great. And then pretty rapidly, as the impact of what he and his team at Doge were doing, the impacts this was having on not just Americans, but people around the world, started to appear. And as people outside of America, because you've got to remember too, Tesla is not just sold in the US, right? And you look at the sales figures in Europe, this groundswell of anger over the approach Musk was taking, again, not just to US politics through Doge, but his involvement in European politics, and in particular in Germany, you know, there was this realization that actually, yes, he has incredible power and incredible influence. And are we going to just stand by and let him play this outsized role in how the world is run? Or are we going to make our feelings known, you know, certainly like on, you know, the car lot? Can we actually, you know, have an impact on how many of Teslas are sold? And that's what's happened, right? Sales in Europe have cratered. Sales on the west coast of the US are right down. So, like, in a way, it's not surprising that he took the risk. But again, I would be surprised if he had anticipated just how big a negative impact his role as a special advisor to the US government was going to have over the last 6 months.
Yeah, and I guess that brings us to events of the last 24 or 48 hours. And what we've seen playing out on X and Truth Social, the fact that Musk is playing this game and continuing to play this game, and it's again evident in the stock price of his businesses, it's just baffling and bananas. do you not, or what would your view be, I suppose, on, was he ever going to leave the White House and just get back to the boardroom and focus on the business? Or is he in too deep and is he too addicted to the media attention that he's had over the last number of months / years to be able to allow that to happen?
So again, you know, you can see this from various different viewpoints, right? I mean, if you imagine Musk, if we gave Musk the benefit of the doubt here, and we said that his intentions in Doge were to slash, waste and excess, and you know, be damned with the consequences, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to just save American taxpayers billions of dollars by cutting all these programs, and then he observes the big beautiful bill being presented with such massive spending included in it. You could understand a level of frustration there, and a level of annoyance at the fact that he had, you know, been tasked with making all these savings, and all that money was then going to immediately be, in his eyes, almost wasted, and that, you know, the US national debt was going to balloon out of control. So as a catalyst for the anger, you can kind of understand why it came to this point. There was a huge amount of speculation well in advance of the last 24, 48 hours that something like this could always happen, right? When you've got two people who are very volatile, quite unpredictable, and have track records of saying things first and thinking afterwards, you know, this kind of blowing up like it did and playing out, as you say, across X and Truth Social, probably wasn't a huge surprise. And yet the speed with which it happens. And again, when you own a platform like X and you've unfettered access, you know, there was a moment last night when Musk was sharing posts about Trump on X and they were getting tens of millions of views within minutes of being published. I mean, it was just incredible to see the speed with which this escalated. Now, again, we're talking on Friday morning and already you're starting to see the de-escalation conversation emerging in the press, and these talks of like calls being made from the White House to Musk's team and attempts to maybe sort of like patch things up a little bit. And obviously it's in both sides' interests for this not to turn into an all-out or long-standing spat, because both stand to lose a huge amount here, right? If you have the richest person in the world on your side as a politician, well, then that gives you a huge amount of power, as I'm sure Trump knows. But equally, if you're one of the richest people in the world and you are inextricably linked to massive federal spending decisions, like the funding of the electric vehicle industry and the funding of SpaceX through US government contracts, then, you know, it kind of helps if the US president likes you and certainly isn't having this massive public fallout with you. So both really are in a position where they would benefit from this kind of ending as a kind of a feud. But again, it's such a live story. Like, it, you know, by the weekend, by early next week, we could be in a completely different place again. That's probably the hallmark of this story. It's the speed with which it is changing and playing out for everybody to see in real time.
Yeah, on Thursday night, it was kind of like watching the Wimbledon final, because you were kind of waiting for one person to take a slap and then another person to take a slap back. And it was just, it was fascinating, and it would have been so entertaining if there weren't real life consequences to it all. And you've kind of talked through the vantage points of both the president and Musk. But what about America and America's reputation? I would love to know the thoughts of other world leaders as they're watching this fallout, or get the thoughts of former President Barack Obama or George Bush. You know, when they left office, they disappeared, kept quiet, and we still don't know a ton, despite them writing books and all the rest, of what went on during their time in office. I feel like the presidency of Donald Trump is kind of like keeping up with the Kardashians, in that there are cameras and, you know, live blogs, not only from every month, but every day and every hour. So what is this doing to the reputation of the superpower that is / was the United States of America?
So again, so this is really well documented, because we have seen countries around the world, and albeit probably heavily influenced by tariff policy and foreign policy over the last 6 months, take steps to try and become more independent of the US. Now, as the world's largest economy, or one of the world's largest economies, and with 335 million people, America is so incredibly central to the success of so many other countries, not least Ireland, through foreign direct investment, amongst other things, that it's absolutely in the world's interests that America works, right? The world doesn't want to see a dysfunctional United States. But if you look at the last 24 hours, and as you say, you look at the way in which the US president and the world's richest man have got into such a public spat played out on social media, and you look at the ramifications of this. I mean, whether you support or are against the Big Beautiful Bill, as it's titled, there is no doubting that its passing, given that it contains such a multitude of different things, not just around budget but around policy, that if this passes, it's going to have a profound effect on the direction of the United States over the next 3 to 4 years, at a minimum. Like, while there's the entertainment factor, like you say, watching the back and forth was almost incredible and unbelievable. There are real world consequences here, and as I say, the world doesn't want America to fail. In lots of ways, the world can't afford for America to fail. So yeah, it's been interesting to see it happen, but my strong hope would be that they find some form of resolution here, and that Musk goes back to focusing on innovation, in the areas of electric vehicles and energy and space, and hopefully some of the harm he has committed through his actions in Doge, and some of those cost-cutting measures can be reversed, and some of the harm can be undone, because that, unfortunately, is going to be an incredible part of his legacy. I don't think we're yet to really see or feel the impact of the work Doge has done over the last 6 months in terms of the money it's cut and the critical infrastructure, not just in the US, but right around the world, and some of the poorest places who've suffered because of funding being cut through this Doge program. Musk's legacy, depending on what occurs as a result of those Doge cuts, may be nothing to do with electric vehicles or space exploration or anything like that. And instead, it may be fully focused on the harm he did during that kind of 6 month time period that he was involved in the US government. And so, while I hope there's resolution between Musk and Trump, my ultimate hope here is that with Musk no longer connected directly to the US administration, that Doge dies out as a concept or an idea, and that a lot of that defunding process that occurred can be reversed, and some of those really incredibly important programs, that were being funded through the likes of USAID, can be reinstated. And as I said, some of the poorest people in the world can start to benefit from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think we haven't heard the last of this, and I'll be glued to the Anton Savage show on Sunday morning to see what's in the papers and how it's being reported and if the world is still standing, because again, it is early doors yet. Stephen O'Leary of Politico, thank you as always for joining me here on News Talk.
My pleasure, Jess.
Let me know what you think. What has been your impression of Elon Musk? So, what did you think of before he took over X? What did you think of him when the X stuff happened? Were you surprised, impressed, eager to see what he did when he joined the political movement? And what do you make of the events of the last 48 hours? TechTalk@newstalk.com is the email address. And speaking of that email address, when we come back here on News Talk, I'll answer your tech questions.